Oh, hells to the no, you ain't gonna believe this.
It's time for a bonus pod, bitches. Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself.
Ooh,
Stretch Roberts.
It's me.
So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
Yes, I am back. You guys are. I got so much to talk about. I got a lot to get to. I got the typical. I got some studies. We're going to talk fitness. We're going to talk food. We're going to talk the Fat to Fit or Else challenge for this week, of which I kicked it in the ass 4, 5, 9 times in the ass. That's how bad I kicked it. Very proud of myself, even though, not going to lie, it's kind of cheating doing the carnivore diet. It really is. I am killing it on the carnivore diet. Very, very proud. I have gone over a week now, a week and a day, without one single slip. Like, I haven't had anything like, ooh, I shouldn't have had that, or I gotta have a taste of that. I've been absolutely flawless in my carnivore diet execution. I'm very proud of that, and that is hard to do. So it's really a good way to get you back into when you pick a diet or something freakishly weird like the carnivore diet that I'm doing. It's gonna be really challenging to do, and once you start doing it, you get your mojo back and you get back in the groove. I highly recommend do it, and even if you just do something like that for a week, do it. But I'm a freak and I eat weird to begin with, so carnivore diet not much of a stretch for me. I'm Stretch, but it is incredible at the weight loss. Ringing in at 12 pounds yesterday. When I weigh in today, which is the actual day of the challenge, my guess is I'm 13 or 14 pounds down in a week. And that is just meat, cheese, and some eggs. I've had nothing else this week. Oh, no. I made fat bombs. I've had some fat bombs, too. If you don't know what those are, and you're ever on a diet, and if you're a junk food junkie like myself, especially if you love the chocolate, I make them super easy. You get the freaking little paper cups for cupcakes. You put them on the counter in a, like, a whatever you want to mix. I actually use my measuring cup, my glass measuring cup. A couple of scoops of coconut oil in there. And then I drop in, and I eyeball it. I don't even weigh it, or I would give it to you. And I drop in some unsweetened, sugar-free chocolate chips. And I put those in there, microwave them, mix them together, and then dump those right into the cupcake things. Just, they're really thin, like I would say half or less of what a Reese's peanut butter cup would be, but they kind of look like a little fatter, thinner Reese's peanut butter cup. And then put them in the fridge and let them get cold. And as soon as they get cold, they're hard. And then I take them and throw them all into a Ziploc bag, and I'll eat one a day if I get a craving for chocolate. And it's really good. Good also to sprinkle some sea salt on there. I have pink Himalayan sea salt I use, and I put that on the top of each one as well. Excellent. Excellent little, you know, sugary snack, and it tastes sugary, but it's got no sugar in it, and therefore no carbs. It's got a lot of fat, but fat is okay for me on the carnivore. So carnivore ass is kicked. I will not be brushing my teeth with the bacon toothpaste. Sunday when we come back, I will throw the new challenge down. I'll stay with weight loss right now since I'm still under doctor's orders. Had physical therapy tonight for the first time in a while. Right now my arm hurts. It's getting annoying. I know me, and I can tell you this. My arm does not go straight up anymore, and I am probably going to have my last physical therapy session on Saturday just because every time I go to physical therapy, I feel like crap for days, and it hurts like hell. And I have no pain outside of physical therapy. I sleep good now. Everything's great. I love my shoulder. I'm happy with it. There's scar tissue, and I can't raise it all the way up. I'm fine with that. It gets better all the time. I figure it'll eventually get better. So I'm not even gonna f with it. I'm cool. Screw physical. And I don't trust them. Like I've told you guys, they hurt me the last time I had physical therapy, which is why I've done none of my exercises. No nothing. No physical therapy whatsoever for over 2 weeks now, because the last time I went in there, they really overdid it. And I thought, they blew out my shoulder. Like, I got to go have another surgery and I'm effed. Like, that's what I thought. So I'm not, and every time I go to this place, I have a different therapist, and some are really good. To the girl tonight was great, and I liked her, but sometimes I get a person that's kind of a knucklehead, and I'm like, and I'll say, hey, you realize I can only lift 2 to 4 pounds, right? Oh, you're fine, dude. Just keep going. Do 20 of those. And then they about rip my arm off in like some jujitsu pose. I'm like, yeah, we're not supposed to be doing that either, mofo. So that's where we are. Let me get into my week. This is weird. Work is, I would say for all of us, work is our probably biggest stressor in our life. Maybe outside of that, unless you got finances or you got relationship issues, work is your daily stressor probably the most. And I don't have that. Since I am a retired campus popo at my daughter's college, I am back at my old job, which really, for the most part, was you sit in the office in a big old desk with a cranked up air conditioner, and I got 65 cameras around me. I watch those cameras, and I grant access to and from, and then I screen all trucks coming in and off the property and communicate with the office staff about what's coming, what's going, who's loading it, blah, 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 blah. It's basic, chill stuff. All right. And then I get the, you know, once a week or so, I get a fun little confrontation with a homeless person. That's pretty much my job. And remember, I'm armed. There's a gun on my hip. You can see the gun. The confrontations with the homeless people have greatly de-escalated since the addition of the gun. And typically, I go out and say, hey, you got to leave. You're on private property. You're trespassing. I need you to leave. And they used to mouth off. And now they turn around to mouth off. And then they see the gun. And they go, okay, cool. And then they just get up and go. That's it. That's typically how it is. I had a guy with a pipe a couple weeks ago that got the drop on me that was weird. But this week, here's my Monday. So I have my big baby. I call it big baby. It's a company car that no one drives but me at the company. And I only drive it if I am doing offsite work with company VIPs. And there was company VIPs in town. And on Monday morning, I had to get them. So that means I brought big baby home for the entire weekend. And I talked about this on the last one. I don't like driving it. And I did when I do, I put my own gas in the tank and all that because I don't ever want a sense of entitlement. And I'm not that guy. So I get in the car on Monday morning to go pick up my VIPs, and I'm early and ready to roll. I get a flat tire. That's how Monday started. I get a flat tire. So I was impressed, and the guy at the gas station by my house hooked me up because I got in there, and I'm like, hey, I got a nail or something in the tire because this thing's flat. Can you plug it? And he literally got that thing plugged, and I still was not late to pick up my VIPs. That was cool. I was happy about that. And then that turned into a 16-hour F me in the A day at work. Just nonstop, not at the office most of the day, on the road, running around, here, there, sitting in parking lots, waiting for stuff. And when I'm on the road now, and I'm a carnivore diet man, that's what I am. My name's Carnivore Man. It's hard to eat. It really is. Like, I can run into a store and buy a pack of like the lunch meat with the cheese, and that's about all I can get most places. I won't even attempt fast food because I don't want that temptation. I don't want, oh, I'll just have a little bit of the bun, or I'll just have some fries. Or no, I'm staying away from that. And let's face it, the meat at fast food restaurants, what are you gonna get? A burger with cheese on it, and it's gonna be packed with sodium and just crap meat. It's not even be worth it. So I stay away. I will get if there's an El Pollo Loco around, I'll go in and get like an entire chicken and eat that. I do that. And I'll go to the deli counter at grocery stores and get the grilled chicken, and I'll do that as well. And occasionally I'll buy a rotisserie chicken somewhere and eat most of that. That works. But I was in Beverly Hills, in snobby Beverly Hills, for about 4 or 5 hours, and I had no food to get. And I finally broke away and found a grocery store and went into the deli counter and got some meat. So that was cool. But that night it ended up at 16 hours. And a word of warning, if you are going to LAX at all, ever, and I don't care, year round, right now as we're under construction at LAX for about the 9th year in a row, do not go to LAX at night. Do not go to LAX at night. do not go to LAX at night. It is a crap show. I got from where I was, and I was going, I think it was about 9:30 when I showed up at like near LAX, and I got there in 15, 20 minutes because there's no traffic on the freeway at that hour. I flew down there. Took me 45 minutes to get into the loop area and another 45 minutes to get around the loop to drop off somebody to get out of there. 45 minutes. So that was an hour and a half to go about less than a mile. It's just a crap show, and it's always like that, especially that upper deck for departing flights at night. Do yourself a favor. Go in the morning, go during the day, go in the afternoon. Stay the F away from LAX at night. It's a crap show. That is my hot tip for you if you are traveling. And it's a lot to do with the construction and it being the most poorly designed airport, antiquated styled airport in the world. And I could fix it. Like, I could tell you right now, I could fix LAX right now. I mean, it would cost a lot of money, but here's what I would do. I would take the loop that I'd take what is exactly LAX right now, and I would kick the Tom Bradley terminal the F out. You are out. You are out. That's the main problem. The thing is shaped like a horseshoe, and at the bottom of the U is 50 different airlines for international flights. All right, F you, international, you're gone. And I would then spread out the regular flights, the national flights. I would spread those out, and I would kick Bradley terminal out. And then I would have a massive, massive cut down on traffic, especially on that upper deck at night. And then I would take the international terminal and I would put it on the other side of the airport at Imperial Highway. They have some freight areas over there. That was where I would build a new international terminal. And I would have a completely separate entrance. It would be like its own separate airport as far as approaching. So you would come in off the 105 freeway and right where it ends, the 105 freeway ends and starts heading into the beach right there. That becomes Imperial Highway again right there. And there's an entrance off of there. It would be completely removed from the rest of LAX. So you would take a massive chunk of traffic off. It's so doable. And the fact that we haven't done that shows no one smart like Stretch is running the show in Los Angeles. But that's how I could fix it. It's a crap show in the meantime. And then they're trying to put the train in. And with the train, they took away the service road. They got rid of all the parking lot traffic to exit the airport. Now everybody has to go around the loop. And it's just an absolute nightmare. And it's been like this for 2 or 3 years. Nightmare. And I know that airport in and out because, remember, I spent 6 years at drug and alcohol treatment. And since I'm the big baboon, they would say, hey, goon, go. I was the fetcher. I would go get people. I was the guy that would go get you and get you into rehab. And you know who goes to rehab really excited about it? No one. You know who thinks they're going to trick their family into making them think they're going to rehab and then likes to get to the airport and run away and hide and do drugs or call friends and take off? Most addicts. I had a person die on me at LAX. I've got stories for days about LAX and nightmares of dealing with drug addicts and chasing them around the airport and catching them in bathroom stalls and kicking in bathroom stalls and finding people doing heroin and all kinds of just awfulness at LAX. I have nightmares of that place, so I hate it to begin with, and then I have to do that. But yeah, I was an official fetcher of addicts and alcoholics at rehab. At the two rehabs I worked at, I would do it for both, more at one than the other, but I've got stories. And then driving with people so out of their mind because they decided it was their last hurrah and they took every drug they had on the plane and then pull their pants down and piss in my car. I had a lady crapping her pants in my car. Like, you just won't believe it. I've got alcohol and drug stories for days, and a lot of the horrible ones involve LAX. So I'm emotionally scarred from that episode as well. Let me get into my stories. Do I want to get into my stories yet, or do I want to go into my week? I'm on a rant right now. I'm on a rant and roll. I told you guys about the carnivore, told you about the massive weight loss. Not cheating. Today, as a matter of fact, is the first time I really like ate at a fast foody place. I, for whatever reason, woke up at 4:30 this morning and I could not go back to sleep. So I said, I'll just get dressed and go to work and get something to eat over there, and I went to, there's like a burger, like a greasy, the Greek burger joints, if you know any of those are always awesome, owned by Greek people, and you have the huge gluttony of food. I went in there and got steak and eggs and threw the toast in the trash, didn't get the hash browns. I literally just got steak and scrambled eggs and a big giant iced tea, and it was wonderful. It was so good. I had that. And then my day today, to be much better than my Monday, my Thursday, they have a lottery scratcher machine inside there, and I was waiting for my food, and I was bored, and I got a $5 Wheel of Fortune scratcher, and I won $30. So that paid entirely for my breakfast, so that was kind of cool. And then after that, went to work, and I had the craziest day I've ever had. This is going to break from the fitness program, but this is a tip that I don't think anyone knows about, and I didn't know about it till last week. I rephrase that. I didn't know about it till 2 days ago, and now I can tell you there is a big, big problem in California right now, and it's all over America, and I can't say too much because it's a big legal thing now, but it looks like there is some software that has been hacked, and this software is used by companies all over the United States. In particular, it is used by a bunch of trucking companies. And I tell you guys, a lot at my job, I have to, you know, check in and check out trucks coming in. Well, there's incidents now, we know, everywhere, but people are now coming. And typically you pull in and there's the check. When you check in, you say, I'm here to pick up a load for, this is the place, I'm taking it, these are the numbers associated with this, and they have all this information so that somebody just can't pull up and say, hey, I'm here to pick up Joe Schmo's order, and then they get Joe Schmo's order and leave. There's checks and balances. Well, the trucking company software has been hijacked at some places, and people are doing that now. They're coming in with big rigs and saying, with all of the correct information, and stealing cargo. Something like that. We had an incident and we're like, wow. And like, there's no way that happened. Like it could happen if there's an inside job. If I worked at the trucking company and I had someone picking up X amount of cargo, I could call my friend if I worked there and say, hey, take a truck, go over here, use these numbers, use this. And you could steal at that point. But so you don't really figure it out. But after it happened and the incident that we had happened, we started, you know, really tightened the F out of security. There's a lot more measures now in place immediately. And, you know, the police are involved and there's investigation and all that. But it could be me. Like, the police are going to have to look at everyone involved to see who was the bad guy, is what you're thinking. Like, who's the leak? Who's the dirty person on the inside? Because it's an inside job. Well, this is happening everywhere. And it's insanely happening in Southern California. I mean, there's cargo being stolen left and right. And you're like, all right, what's the big deal about this? I will tell you the big deal about this. This affects every single one of us. The shoplifting has already created an extra kick into the inflation because companies are losing so much money. What do they do when they lose money? They raise their prices. Well, when you steal an entire cargo amount of merchandise from a company, you have, if it's worth a lot of money, you have insurance on it. The insurance pays, but the insurance goes up. And then when the insurance goes up, what do? You raise your prices to pay your higher insurance rates. And everyone always says that, like, stealing is a victimless crime against a big company because, you know, they have insurance. Well, you pay the insurance, and we don't pay the insurance. The customer pays the insurance, technically, because you keep raising your prices if your insurance goes up. So know that about all theft. And the fact that this is an epidemic, I am finding out, an insane epidemic right now of cargo containers being stolen like you won't believe. And then that being said, we've bumped up our security measures. And then this is before we found out about the hack. And we found out about the hack from someone in my family who is a cybersecurity person. I was talking to them, and I was like, yeah, the strangest thing happened. And they told them kind of the scenario. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you're in the snowflake hack. And look that up, snowflake hack. It's a real thing, and it's snowballing into a massive, massive data breach. But it seems like that's kind of what's happening. But it's called the snowflake software that all these companies use. And this is how the hack happened. When companies are lazy and don't change their passwords and they let ex-employees leave and they log in, that's how it started. And then hackers got involved. And then big criminal, like federal, this is like an FBI thing at this point, probably. We're talking about a massive, massive organized crime ring stealing massive amounts of goods, and a lot of it in California. So much so that after that happened last week and we've locked down security at our place, and I had to wear my bulletproof vest now too. I'm resorting to that as a show of force. They attempted to hit us three more times since last. So once it happened, it's so out of control. And when I say out of control since the first week of June is when this problem broke out, and it's an epidemic right now. It's insane. But you can look it up and you can Google it. But if you have a company and you do any sort of shipping or receiving, just know that is out there. And I would advise you to be cautious and to look up the Snowflake software hack. You could be involved. Just word to the wise. And it's made today probably the most stressful day I've ever had at work. And I've been there 5 years. All right, let's get into some of the health and fitness stories, because this is, after all, Fat to Fit or Else, where we talk about getting healthy. Here's a good one for fat ass fatty McFat fats like myself, who suffer from the diabetes. The diabetes will kill you, give you heart disease, all kinds of awfulness, give you strokes, give you bad, bad, bad stuff. Well, if you have the diabetes, the best thing you could do is exercise after 6 p.m. Between 6 p.m. and midnight. And they did this through study groups, and they got people to work out in the morning, people to work out in the afternoon, and people to work out at night. And the group that worked out at night for diabetes, for blood sugar, strictly for blood sugar levels, they had a much better controlled blood sugar level the entire next day. So if you work out at night, they say, and it's very much those statistics, if you did actually have diabetes, the numbers went up even more. So They say the optimal timing of the day to enhance the effectiveness of exercise and physical activity, if you do have yourself the diabetes, is to go at night, 6 to midnight. And that's good to know. Any little thing you can have that adds to your workout regime or your health and fitness is really, really good. All right. Now, this one is one of the shut the F up. Someone actually did a study on this. What the hell? I'm going to give you the headline and not a lot more. Moving off the couch brings healthy aging. That's right. Did you know if you're not a couch potato, you age better than couch potatoes? That's the story. That's the study. And they studied 45,000 people over 20 years. Shut the front door, mofos. Are you serious? And all of the people were at least aged 50, and they started this study in 1992, and they were free of chronic diseases, and they found out that by the time these people hit their 70s, that the ones that didn't stay on the couch potatoes thing aged better. No effing crap, says Stretch. I got to get a study. My study is going to be, if you eat less, you lose weight. That's my study. I wonder how much money they'll give me to do my study. I ate less this week and I lost weight. Study confirmed. All right, here's a fun one. Do you have knee farts? I just like saying that. Knee farts. Saw a story about bad knees, and they're saying if you got the snap, crackle, pop in your knees, could be simple knee farts. I'm like, I've never heard it called knee farts before because I have those. Now it makes me want to make my knees snap, crackle, and pop. They say it's a very common occurrence, especially as the body ages, and there's many reasons that this happens, but it could be the common vacuum in the knee joint that they call knee farts. Just a little knee fart. Oh, that's a knee fart. Mine sound like a gravel road. I'm driving a pickup truck down a gravel road when I move. But there are times when they say the snap, crackle, and pop coincide with pain or swelling of the joint, means there's instability in there and things moving around, and that hurts is a sign of something serious and could be arthritis or meniscus tears or cartilage or whatever, and could require surgery to fix if that's the case. Could also just be cartilage wearing down to where you get the bone on bone and the cartilage wears away. I've had that surgery twice already. That's not fun. But you can also do physical therapy to strengthen the muscles around the knee, and that will help too. If you're having a little snap, crackle, pop, and it makes you uneasy, you can see a physical therapist, and you can do a lot of workouts to strengthen the muscles around the knee, and that will help a lot. Now it's time to talk about sexy, sexy time. I know the last thing you want to do is talk about sexy sex time with me, because I don't even want to talk about sexy time with me. But this is a story about the new condom. It's called Skyn, S-K-Y-N. And it is the tiniest, thinnest condom made, which doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in the reason you would be wearing a condom, which would be to not have a pregnancy or to prevent an STD. But where here's the fun part about Skyn, they say it's like skin on skin contact because it's so thin and people are willing to pay the premium. Most condoms run around $1 a piece or less. These are 10 and you get a pack of 10. So it's $100 for a pack of condoms. And they say, even though they're the priciest condoms on the market, they are selling out insanely. These things are just blowing out of the place, that they're really, really good. They call them luxury condoms. So S-K-Y-N, if you're looking for some high comfort in the condom world. I know you always hear guys, I can't wear condoms, it doesn't work, I can't feel it. It feels like I'm having sex with a blob doll. And then they talk the dumbass girl into letting them have sex with them, and they get her pregnant or give her an STD. Don't fall for that line. You say, wrap that whacker or get the hell out of here, mofo. That's what you say every time, ladies. All right. And then guys, if a girl's telling you, no, take it off, it doesn't feel right, you say, yeah, hey, psycho. You're going to be boiling a bunny in my kitchen here soon. No. No, no. All right. Let's get into this fun story about Ozempic. It's going to make you dislike Ozempic people more. Not only because they're skinny bitches now and they look good, but apparently the main thing to do if you're a lady that's dumped a ton of weight on the Ozempic is then to go slap on some strap-ons. And in fact, when I first saw what they said in this article, I was like, wait a minute. This is a transvestite story? They say, sticks with tits. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then another person refers to it, tits on a stick. But they're saying stick like you're skinny, so you get tits, so they all give you giant fake boobs. Giant fake double D humongous boobs on a super skinny body that is just whittled away from Ozempic. And that is the new craze. And I'm looking at pictures of these girls that were really big girls that lost. And I get it. If you've been big probably your whole life and now all of a sudden you look great, they want to show it off. But now they're flappy where they lost all that weight. So they go get giant boobs to blow the bags back up, so to speak, after losing a lot of weight. Now, the people, too, I noticed, which they don't mention in this article, as I look at it, they not only have tits on a stick, they also have big fat lips on a stick, and they've all gone in for a little boobage and some lip fillers, and there's a lot of crap. It's more than just that. So, but good for you. If you look good, feel good, you want to show it off, I don't want to say you've put the work in. You're on Ozempic. That's not the work. You haven't put the work in. You've taken Ozempic and whittled all your muscle away, and when you gain this weight back, it's going to be funny because you have no muscle to burn fat once you start trying to work out again because you let all that go away because you didn't do the weight loss right. Very important to lose weight the right way. Right now, I'm going the right way. I have the Ozempic, but I'm doing everything the right way because I'm eating crap loads of protein, which means I'm not losing muscle. I'm losing fat. Fat like a mofo. All right, then I have one more story before we get out of here. And this one I'm going to call BS on. And they did this study. It is a recent study. And they did it in Britain with 122,000 ladies. And they found out women, not men, who often smoked the marijuana, have a significantly higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease. And they go into the usage and the people, and they followed them over this many years. And here's where I'm going to tell you, wrong. And I'm not a pro-marijuana person at all. I'm not anti-marijuana. I just, if anyone smokes weed nonstop, is got a problem in my eyes. But remember, I'm definitely shaded. You take gummies to go to sleep once in a while, cool. Smoke a little weed once in a while, cool. But if you can't go to work without stinking like the ganj, or you can't drive in your car without stinking like the ganj, you got a problem. And it's as bad as alcoholism, and it is addicting. Don't ever listen to anyone that says it isn't. I know way too much about this stuff. So anyway, also there is that my marijuana is so strong now, and I've seen this working in rehab on a serious note, especially if you have young kids that smoke marijuana. Their brains, even if they're adults at 18 years old, their brains still aren't fully developed till they're like 25 years old. And there is real, real cases. I have seen them, of marijuana-induced psychosis, where people smoke such strong weed, and it happens a lot to college kids. And what happens when kids get away from home and marijuana's legal in the new town and parents aren't around? They wake and bake and get olified morning, noon, and night, and they can actually come to this condition called marijuana-induced psychosis, and it is a real thing. It is a real, real thing. But back to the story, where I call BS on this women that smoke a lot of weed having heart attacks. We just came out of COVID, where a lot of young, healthy people died from weird heart issues after the vaccines. That's not a conspiracy theory anymore. It's proven and it's factual. A lot of young people completely unrelated to COVID that didn't die from COVID, that were fully vaxxed, had weird heart things. So I would say throw this whole study out and try it again, and hopefully don't inject anyone with a bunch of poison in their body and call it a vaccine after that. And I'm fully vaxxed, just letting you know. My jobs will not allow me to not be fully vaxxed. So I'm fully vaxxed, and I'm never getting another one, ever. Like, I've learned too much about it in the years since getting those. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm done now. Now that I drug everybody down. Also, let's hope World War III doesn't start soon with all the Russian warships off the Florida coast. That looks like a fun summer we're going to have. Now you're going to have to worry about great white sharks in the water off Florida and Russian military vehicles. This is crazy. It is crazy. I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here. I'll talk to you guys again on Monday with a brand new episode of Fat to Fit or Else, and a brand new challenge on Fat to Fit or Else. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you then.